Wait for it.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Active Geek Podcast with your host Jim and Chuck. And Chuck, this is an episode that I think you've been waiting for millennia, because we're going to finally re-enter the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
The last time we've talked about it was Book of Boba Fett. We didn't do a preview of this. We haven't had any big Star Wars, you know, news besides like the Skeleton Crew series being announced and some trailers, but that doesn't warrant an episode. But we're talking Obi-Wan Kenobi today. And this is a special one because we're recording late, mainly because this is a 6-episode series and we're halfway through. So we're going to call this our mid-season review episode of Obi-Wan. So are you stoked for this episode today?
I'm always stoked to talk about Star Wars. I mean, I talk about Star Wars every day, generally. But when I can geek out on the podcast even more than I normally do is always a fun time.
Yeah, especially when it comes to something so nostalgic, right? Like, it's easy to be, like, excited about a new property, but this is something that is a continuation, not a prequel, not a sequel, kind of just
it's
like
sort
that.
Of a,
it explains everything.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a weird thing where it's kind of a prequel and a sequel.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, it's a prequel to episode 4.
Yep.
But it's a sequel to episode 3.
Yeah.
It builds that gap in between, which is great. And what they do, you know, what they've been doing with the Star Wars, you know, like Rogue One.
Yeah.
You know, was a sequel and a prequel. It's a great thing. And it's a good story. And the prequels get a lot of crap.
Yeah.
One of the best things out of the prequels was Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, I mean, I think the prequels get a lot of crap because George Lucas tried to change a lot of things that didn't need to be changed. And I think a lot of people just went into it and they were like really focused on Jar Jar Binks and the pod racing and like the little things that like people get irked about. But overall, like that story is a very good story, and it's an integral story to it, minus the midichlorians, right? It's a... It leads you to, obviously, the episode 4, 5, and 6, but it gives you, like, the backstory of some of the most iconic characters in film history, not even just Star Wars history. If you were to talk to anybody about, like, best villains in movies, Darth Vader is going to be up there.
Definitely.
Obi-Wan could possibly be up there for best heroes, you know, Palpatine, like, everybody. So, like, they really did a good job. I think it might have been too early for its time. You know what I mean? Had it been like now with like the directors we have and the technology we have, oh my God, could you imagine the prequels being done now? It would be amazing.
And they would be. And for the time though, you know, you're looking at late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like the technology that George Lucas, and a lot of it was invented.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that CGI was, you know, before its time. And going back, like, it was great, like the technology and what they used, and you know, they went a little more CG than anyone has ever done at that time. The story, like you said, is great, minus a couple things, but you know, Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan gave so much life to a character that was only in New Hope for half a movie.
Yeah.
And he was a big integral part in 4, 5, 6 because it was the mentor, a la be a Force Ghost.
Yeah.
But Ewan McGregor is a great actor. And, you know, they grabbed him young.
Yeah.
And he had a flourishing career after that.
I mean, they did a great job just casting everybody in that movie, to be honest. I mean, Jake Lloyd, maybe biggest casting of his life, obviously. But, like, you know, you got Liam Neeson, you got Samuel L. Jackson, Natalie Portman, like, Hayden Christensen. Mm-hmm. Like, that's career-defining for some of those actors and actresses. It's Jimmy Smits, and he's back. You know, it's a wonderful little cast that they have there. But also, we weren't in the revival culture that we're in now, back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So I think, like, the appeal of Star Wars was lackluster. Nobody but core Star Warsian fans were really caring about the revival, right? Because you have kids who didn't see the first episodes, right? And they're like, oh, what's this? I don't want to see it. They were too busy thinking of like action movies, getting ready for, you know, Fast and the Furious, 38,000 movies that come out. And then you have like the parents who were trying to drag their kids in there, but it didn't really, did it gain a lot of new fans? Probably not. If it were to come out now, like in the culture that we're in, like imagine the prequels being announced when Force Awakens was announced.
Oh, it would have been earth-shattering,
right? Earth-shattering. Yeah. And we're getting to a point where, like, thankfully, as we kind of move into our episode, but I do have my pick of the week. We have the TV series on Disney Plus that are single-handedly saving the Star Wars universe. Those last three movies weren't good. You know, the more I think about it, like, think about, like, I was talking to a friend of the podcast, Dion, and those characters were really not integral to any story, except for maybe Ben.
4, 5, 6 was, you know, not life changing, but it, they just did so much to the culture itself. And these, there was really no implications after.
Right.
The three came out.
And like everybody's forgettable. Like, what does, like, Poe is not important to the Star Wars universe. Rose, Finn, Rey, they're not important. You have one legacy character in Ben. They forced us to have a legacy character with Rey saying, oh, you know, she's a Skywalker now. Like, it was just, it kind of felt like a money grab because of us being in the revival culture. Also kind of felt like a, like, let's see where we're at with Star Wars. If people are, like, it's Disney's attempt to, like, say, you know, people love Star Wars, let's put more stuff out there, but they'll watch it because it's Star Wars, not because it's a good story. You know, it.
And you nailed it on the head. They watch it because it's Star Wars. And, you know, I like those movies because it's Star Wars. I don't think they're great movies, but I could say, you know, being a lifelong Star Wars fan, like, I'm glad we got it.
Yeah.
Just I wish it was, they were better.
Yeah. The way I look at it is, like, seeing all 10 Star Wars movies, excluding the Christmas special, I think those three movies are worse than all three of the prequels.
I really didn't like Phantom Menace, even though I saw it twice in the theaters.
But think about the importance of that story versus the importance of A Force Awakens.
Oh, no, you are totally correct. Like, compared to importancy, the last three are at the bottom.
No, it was just, like, a bookend.
Yeah, there was no... It, again, do I like them? Of course. Do I love them? No.
Yeah.
Like, there was no significancy to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rogue One was better than the entire J.J. Abrams and... who's the other guy who did it? Not, I was going to say Josh Trank. Can't even remember his name at the moment.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes. That whole era, I think Rogue One was better than all three of those. Rogue One is a gem amongst the Star Wars universe.
You are very correct. It was, it's a gem that people don't really recognize.
Well, they're gonna have to, because we're getting a series and the trailer looks great for Andor.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. But let's, before we dive deeper into the galaxy far, far away, I do have a pick of the week, even though it's the end of the week. And it's a one of three, Chuck, and it's from Image Comics. I don't think you're going to pick this up, but I needed to put this in this episode because when we talk about Stranger Things, it all makes sense. It's called The Closet, and it's written by James Tynion IV. And the story is A Tale of Existential Familial Horror by James Tynion IV, The Department of Truth, Razorblade, Something is Killing the Children, House of Slaughter, amongst so many other wonderful titles, and Gavin Fullerton from Bog Bodies and Bags. Tom, aka Tom, Tom is moving cross country with his family and dragging his past along with them. His son Jamie is seeing monsters in the bedroom closet and will not let them go. It's a classic monster in the closet story, monsters under your bed. It's a three-part read. I read the first one already and I loved it. I love everything that James Tynion writes at this point.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I'm going to say it now, and it's going to be kind of repetitive with Stranger Things next week, but I would love to see the Duffer brothers be in charge of the Something is Killing the Children story or movie or series that's coming out on Netflix, just because it's kind of in that same vein, but then the Duffers would become pegged as monsters killing children. You know what I mean? So I can't have that, but maybe Sean Levy would be great doing that. But that's neither here nor there. That's just me thinking out loud. Go pick that book up. It's fantastic. It's $4, 3 issues. Just go read it. But let's dive into spoiler territory, right? Because that's what we're here for. We're here to talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi, the first 3 episodes. And I'm just going to ask you point blank, what do you think of the first half of the series?
I like it. Obviously, it's fueled by Ewan McGregor's performance. You know, it seems like didn't miss a beat. He's great. I had a few plot points that I thought was a little off, but I mean, the shining star obviously is little Leia.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She blew me away as Leia. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk more about her, but like, everything in general was great. Like, you mentioned Jimmy Smits. He came back.
Looking ageless.
He doesn't look much different. I think his hair got maybe a tad lighter.
Yeah.
Because of gray, but not, you know, he always looks the same.
Yeah.
But I think they did a pretty good job, and they threw some Easter eggs in there that I thought were really cool, that hardcore fans would recognize.
Yeah, and you know, let's just start at the beginning, right? They gave you the entire prequel trilogy in 10 minutes. And I think that's super important, because like, when I left the series, like the third episode, I was like, you don't have to be a core Star Wars fan or have to play catch up with the prequels to kind of understand what's going on after watching the beginning of episode one. Like, I feel like they gave you enough of the storyline and background to get you to that point. And then they're giving you more storyline through dialogue. And I think that dialogue is coming from Reva, who is fantastic. Moses Ingram is crushing it as third sister Reva. I know there were some moments that we had texted about. Like, we normally don't text about the stuff that we're going to record because we want to keep it precious for our wonderful listeners. But we talked about, you know, the Inquisitor being killed, the Grand Inquisitor. And I know, like, a lot of people were like, oh man, the look is terrible. Why couldn't they have just did what they did in the prequels? Well, they cut costs because he died first episode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they put all that money into Freck.
He didn't look awful. Obviously, he didn't have the big head, you know, the big oblong head. I thought Rupert Friend was good.
Yeah, I thought he was great.
I think, you know, besides the quote-unquote shape of his head, I thought the look was good.
Yeah, I wish we would have been able to see more of the lightsaber in action.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's such like, when they're bringing the they're bringing Flea, who was fantastic in this as well. When they're bringing Flea to the Grand Inquisitor and he's spinning the lightsaber, I feel like they should have panned out so we could see that lightsaber in all its glory. Like, I remember when you started watching Rebels and the Clone Wars and you're like, dude, the Grand Inquisitor's lightsaber is the best thing. I remember going to Walmart with you trying to find the replica. Like, that's a dope lightsaber and we haven't seen it. Like, we didn't see it in action other than just, like, spinning around. I want to see the full thing.
Yeah, they should have done. I mean, people are still thinking he's alive.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see a body, you're good, right? You know, people
thought. Yeah, and then Rupert Friend isn't a huge actor, but he's someone decent where I feel like, you know, you could have got anyone for that role.
Yeah, I mean, they're giving people a shot. Like, this is very reminiscent of the prequels. You know, you're getting some recognizable faces, but this could really shape careers moving forward. Look at Sung Kang, who's absolutely crushing it as Fifth Brother.
Yeah, he's great.
You know, Moses Ingram is
but unrecognizable, though.
I thought it was Benedict Wong for a while, or like the guy who plays Gilgamesh. And like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, that voice is familiar. And I knew that Sung Kang was in it. And I like went to IMDb and I'm like, I'm stupid. Like, I knew he was in it. Why didn't I just think that that was him? It's the same thing with, like, O'Shea Jackson Jr. Have you seen him yet?
I have no idea who he is.
He's supposed to be in, like, 6 episodes.
So I'm looking at IMDb right now, and it says he's in 3.
Okay, so we haven't seen him yet. He's in the next one.
I thought he was the voice of, in the last episode, the robot.
Okay.
Or the droid that they said don't have emotion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think he's going to have emotion.
Because, the one who was, like, holding the hammer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe that's him, and he didn't speak. I've been looking for Baby Cube. I'm like, where is he at? Is he a voice?
My thought is he might be Quinlan Vos.
Okay.
Because they made, like, a big deal about Quinlan in this third episode when the Imperial, general who is helping Obi-Wan and Leia, who's played by Vivian Lyra Blair, cross to the transport where Reva, who apparently can teleport, wound up there faster than anybody, right? Baby Leia had 20 minutes on Reva, and Reva had opened that door and then teleported there. So, like, I don't know where they're going to go with that, but, like, do you know much about Quinlan Vos?
I know of him.
Okay, so Quinlan Vos is, like, an extraordinary character in this universe, right? Because not a lot of Jedis survived Order 66, right? Which was great that we got to see that play out in the first episode again. Like, I thought that that was a great little touch.
Yeah, that was a very good, not tie-in, but you needed to see that.
Absolutely.
And the youngling. And I'm like, wow, they're killing younglings. Like, this is going heavy.
Yeah.
Real fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, right off the bat, it was like, we're killing children. Like, and probably not the right time given our current country's climate. Same thing with Stranger Things. I know Stranger Things jumped ahead and gave us a little blurb in the beginning. Like, this was filmed during COVID, way before all that stuff. But Quinlan Vos, who they mentioned had carved in, is a Jedi who survived Order 66. And if you go back in time, I believe we have already seen him in a cameo in episode 1. He was on Tatooine. He's got long black hair and, like, a yellow circle, like yellow line under his eyes around his face. And he's also in the animated series as well because he has ties to Obi-Wan. Him and Obi-Wan were hunting the Hutts at one point, which we already know reemerged during Book of Boba Fett. And then what's crazy about Quinlan is he was tempted to the dark side. He was brought over and was brought back due to his love of one and only Asajj Ventress.
Which they need to put her in.
Dude, they've been talking about Asajj Ventress. Like, actors and actresses have been mentioning the name. Like, I know Rosario Dawson and Katie Sackhoff had said, like, we want a Bo-Katan Asajj Ventress, like, series. So, like, I feel like she's coming. She has to be coming out of this, right? And, like, now would be the best time to introduce her.
Well, you don't have any female villains.
Well, you have Reva now.
Well, until now. Yeah. But Asajj Ventress, like, she'll trump over Reva, not because of the character itself, but just because Asajj Ventress is such a pivotal character in the animated.
Yeah.
And
what's crazy is, like, she's a good character at the end. Like, she's one of those gray characters.
Yeah. Yeah. At the end, because she was helping Ahsoka.
Yeah. So my question, as we're kind of tying in this, do you think Reva is strictly Sith, or do you think she's one of those gray characters that, like, we're going to see, like, a shift in Reva by the end of this series?
I don't know, though. She has so much hatred for Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Because it's letting her, and that's the other thing too, is because, you know, when you're a Jedi and a Sith, like, you know, emotion isn't supposed to play into it, and emotion's playing heavily into her decisions.
Yeah. She's got a hatred.
So much. Yeah. Like, you can have a vendetta or hate someone, but, like, she is letting it, and, you know, and her and the fifth brother are butting heads because of this. And she's just like, no, I'm getting my stuff from Vader.
Yeah.
And let's not to mention, we finally see Mustafar.
We did see Mustafar. It was so, so beautiful in all of his glory.
And, you know, his castle.
I might vacation that, there.
Like, I didn't tear up, but it was kind of a moment like, oh, like, we finally see it in live action. Like,
yeah,
you know, obviously they've, you know, it's pretty big in the comics.
Yeah.
It's
his base of operation, Snake Mountain.
Yeah.
You know, that's Darth Vader's new world. And yes. we went 10 movies without really seeing Mustafar. So it was fantastic that we got to see. It was, you can tear up if you want to. Like, that was a moment to tear up. Like, that moment, and then just where they pick up with Vader in this, in terms of Rogue One, too. We got the Vader that everybody wanted. Like, when he snapped that dude's neck out of nowhere, it was just like, I'm killing your kid, but I'm going to kill you too. And snapped his neck. I was like, oh, yeah. Vader's a badass now. Like, Hayden Christensen is fueled by hatred. He is, him and Reva are one and the same. They are both fueled by hatred via Obi-Wan Kenobi, and they're going to kill everyone in order to get to him. And I think that was a wonderful little moment.
Yeah, I just, like, you know, we talk about the ruthless Vader, like, that fight scene at the end was choreographed beautifully. And
I'm surprised Vader didn't kill Obi. Like, I know how this ends, like, like, I saw the 6 hours after this, but Obi is so, like, he's so rusty. He's got ring rust. He's like a fighter who's been out of the cage for a while. He looked sloppy with the lightsaber, and his power, like his force powers, like trying to lift Leia, were very weak. So, like, I was surprised that Vader didn't like piece him up as much as he did.
I mean, we had 10 years of Obi sitting on Tatooine, you know, not rotting away, but like, he didn't use his powers. You know, he hidden his lightsabers. He pretty much just stopped using the force.
Yeah. Very much like Luke at the end, like in Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm. But then you have 10 years of Vader, who is cultivating this empire.
Yep.
And, you know, he didn't stop using his powers. He just, you know, he got so much stronger.
Yeah, and we saw it because he tried to light Obi-Wan on fire.
And I saw, and I'm like, wait. We don't see any burns. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking back. I'm like, okay, you know, we didn't see Alec Guinness, you know, charred up.
Yeah.
So I was like, obviously he can't get too burnt.
A part of me wanted him to. I was like, this is going to make this series even better. Like, yeah, they burn him up in this. I'm like, oh my God, we got two burn victims fighting each other. Like, that would have been crazy. But like, that was like episode 3, like, really turned everything up to 10. Like, 1 and 2 were really good, but episode 3 was amazing.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see what 4, 5, 6 bring.
Yeah, I feel like episode 1 and 2 just, like, set the players, right? Like, when they arrived on, you know, the Blade Runner planet, and you see that girl was like, I was somebody's daughter before, and I was like, oh, no, don't give me more of these mod kids. Like,
oh, you knew who that was, right?
Who was it?
That was his daughter.
That was Ewan McGregor's daughter?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't.
The one that was selling him spice?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his daughter.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't even know that. I just looked at that kid and I was like, oh, I already hate this planet. Like, get me out of here. But like, that's kind of what we were hoping for at one point, right? The black market of the Star Wars galaxy. I feel like it's that planet. Like, nobody leaves this planet. You know, you have all the space beasts. You have, you know, when little Leo's running away from Obi, there's all those like creatures in the cages, and then you have Kumail, who is a con artist. You know, what did you think about Kumail showing up in this?
He was great.
Yeah, he really was. Perfect role.
Perfect role, because he's got that, you know, that snarky comedic side to him, which he brought into Eternals. And this year, like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, he's a con man, like, obviously. Like, he was just great. And then at the end, he was like, I want to help. Which I thought was good. Like, he kind of, I mean, he shit himself when he realized that he got caught.
Yeah.
He
killed Forlom, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the bug-eyed assassin, he killed him.
And then it was amazing that Timo Morrison showed up.
Yeah. Yeah, just as the veteran stormtrooper.
Yeah, and it's just, and he's just like, hey, help me. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And people are like, oh my God, it's Rex. And I'm like, it's not freaking Rex. Like, stop.
No, like, it's definitely not Rex, but it could lead to Rex.
It definitely could. You know, and Timo Morrison is open. He loves this universe. He loves, you know, playing these characters. And
yeah, I mean, it's keeping keeping him fed.
Yeah. Seeing that just made me realize, like, we're this closer to Rex.
Yeah, and, like, that could have been, like, an easy moment where they, like, retconned it, right? And gave it a different face. But, like, that's attention to detail, saying, like, we hear you. You want Rex and his gang, right? You want the Bad Batch to be live action. Like, you want these guys. So we're going to keep on with the trend. Maybe we don't get Rex ever. But the fact that they kept the clone trooper's face the same face as the original is perfect. Like, that's,
I mean,
very good attention to detail. And Deborah Chow was crushing it.
If they didn't do that, people would be up in arms. Like, even though it was this most split second, and, you know, if you're not a diehard Star Wars fan, you didn't recognize.
Yeah, you blink, you miss it.
And you're just like, oh, it's a trooper. You know what I mean? Like, and he doesn't look anything like himself in Boba Fett. So, like, even if you're just watching a Disney Plus series and you're like, oh, okay, it's just some guy. But no, like, I feel they know that Star Wars fans are rabid. And as soon as, like, you know, it was just some unknown actor just saying, I'm a stormtrooper, people will be up in arms about it.
Yeah, I mean, the Star Wars, you said rabid, I say toxic. The Star Wars fandom is kind of up in arms in general about the series. Like, I've seen some posts and some comments about how bad this series is. And I'm just thinking, like, what are you watching? Like, who hurt you to the point that, like, everything has to be, like, the way you imagined it in your head, even though you don't know where the story's going? Like, going into this series, this was billed as a one season series, and it's already progressing into a second season. You know, they're working on it now. So, like, who goes into a series and gets, like, so angry that they have to, like, I don't know, they're trolls. That's the, I don't understand the troll lifestyle.
No. And then I've talked to you, you know.
Oh, yeah, that cesspool that you hang out in on Facebook.
Yeah. And I don't know why I do it to myself. Like, you know, and I think I mentioned this on air when the Boba Fett series came out. And, you know, there was a guy complaining that the size of the dent of his helmet isn't correct. And I'm like, come on, dude. Like, and he literally put two pictures aside. It was like, this dent is bigger, and then how did it get fixed, and blah blah blah, blah. And I'm like, it's a dent in the helmet. And I'm talking about, like, you're probably talking about, you know, millimeters difference,
right?
You know, maybe an inch or so, not even. And I deal with measurements and numbers all day long, and I'm just like, I can see that it's not that big of a difference,
right?
But, you know, I had not really gripes but this series, but there was a few things where I was kind of like, it doesn't kind of make sense.
What were they? What were some things that didn't make sense to you?
I mean, I don't know if they're going to retcon this, but you go back to episode one where, I'm sorry, not episode one, episode four, New Hope. And Leia is asking for Obi-Wan's hope. And, you know, all she says is, you served my father in the Clone Wars. And now we know they have a relationship after that.
Yeah.
And then he didn't recognize her. And he didn't recognize, you know, he just would have been like, well, you know, I saved her life. Obviously, because this story was made, you know, 40 years later. But that, to me, kind of, like, I didn't hate it. But it kind of, like, you know, being a Star Wars fan, just, like, they just kind of retconned that.
Yeah.
Like, him hiding on Tatooine and just Luke knowing who Ben is, I was okay with, because that's, you know, how they explained it.
Right.
But now you go back and they're saying, well, you know, he has no idea who this this woman on this hologram is and the fact that he saved her life.
Well, I mean,
so maybe the
maybe that's the last time that he sees her. Like, this is it. And like, who could imagine that that woman, that little girl, would grow up to be, look like Carrie Fisher, you know? Like, again, 40 years, like you said, like, there's a ton of time in between for him to just forget this rescue mission of, or like, forget, like, he's probably not planning for what she's going to look like. And if anything, he's probably hoping she looks like Padme. So,
well,
that could probably just be easily explained, like, I'm old, I'm an old man in the desert planet.
Well, I mean, and she explains who her father is. And that's the thing, too. Like, if he might not recognize her, but he was like, you served my father in the Clone Wars. He'd be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he'd probably like, oh, shit, I saved you one time, too. You almost got me killed. I'm not going to save you again. Like, that, I feel like that's something that could be, like, easily fixed at some point. Yeah. Like, and explained just through, like, hey, he forgot. He's old and senile. But what else didn't kind of work for you?
That was it.
Okay, good.
That was it.
If that's the
only I love the series. I love the series, and it's, you know, I'm not one of those toxic fans like, oh my god, this is horrible because they, you know, retconned everything. Like, no, it just, to me, it just is a little off.
Yeah. The one thing that, like, it didn't get to me, but like I was a little surprised by, was James Earl Jones coming back as the voice like this early. I was like, I was expecting like Hayden Christensen's voice to be like a little crackly as like Darth Vader as he like works his way up to being Lord Vader. But I was very happy that they didn't change the voice. Like, I was hoping it was James Earl Jones going in, but like, I was imagining like it would be like a little it would be Hayden Christensen's voice in the respirator, and it wouldn't be as deep because it would, like, he would have to grow into his maturity and become Darth Vader.
Didn't they show? Wasn't James Earl Jones in episode 3 at the end? He had that voice. So, you know, this is 10 years later. Because remember when, I mean, he didn't speak much when Emperor Palpatine made him into Vader.
Yeah.
But he just said, she's dead. And then he just yelled, no. And
yeah, and it was a deep voice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad it's still James Earl Jones, and they both got billing on this, which is great. Because
James Earl Jones, you know, he's up there. He's what, in his 90s?
91.
And even though, you know, technology and, you know, voice actors, like, there's people out there that, you know, can probably replicate his voice. But it's good for it to be actual James Earl Jones.
Absolutely. So I have one more question about Reva, because she's such an integral part to the storyline. Do you think that we've already seen Reva before? There's a theory that we have.
Okay, I didn't hear the theory, so hit me with it.
So the theory is that she is one of the foundlings in the prequels who is training with the headset.
Okay.
And that she feels betrayed by Obi-Wan for not saving her during, or finding her during, the Order 66, and that's why she is so hateful of Obi-Wan, because remember, they said she was found in the gutter. You know, she's not like fifth brother, she's not like, you know, the Grand Inquisitor, she's a street rat.
That's a pretty logical theory.
Yeah,
like, it's not far-fetched. It's, I'll be honest with you, I would say that's right.
Yeah, I think that would be a pretty good way to kind of bring her into this and say, like, she's a new character, but hey, you've seen her before, kind of like, you know, Quinlan Voss, like, blink, you miss her, or him, and you get to a point where you're like, oh, okay, this, she does tie in, she's not just an entirely new character. So I think that that's cool. I'm hoping Sarah Michelle Gellar pops up still at some point to reprise her role. I doubt it, but, you know, a boy can hope.
I mean, you think she's going to play Asajj Ventress?
Well, she was an Inquisitor, too.
Oh, she wasn't Asajj Ventress. Who was
Asajj Ventress? I think she was, like, Fifth Sister.
Okay.
Like, so, yeah, okay, but I'm pretty sure we've already seen Fifth Sister, and it wasn't Sarah Michelle Gellar, so a little upset about that. But this series in general, like, I don't think it had any misses so far. So I think it's doing the Star Wars Star Wars World Justice, and it's keeping fans entertained. Like, even like with Freck, you know, this naked mole rat character played by Zach Braff. Yeah. Like, you know what you're getting into when you get on an Empire transport ship, right? I knew from the jump he was going to turn on Obi-Wan and Leia.
Oh, yeah, 100%. As soon as they got in the back and it showed the Empire symbol. And let's talk about her performance.
Just that in general, scene, she's amazing.
Oh, she is. But that scene right there when she was just coming on the fly, because he was like, don't speak.
Yep.
And she was like, can I speak? No. He said, just don't. And they just spitballed. And she was just, you know, making this story. And she's a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, holding her own with these troopers, just giving this BS story. And they bought it. And then they almost caught her when he called her Leia.
Yeah. But, like, the fallback was great, where, like, oh, she reminds me of her mother. Which he wasn't lying. Like, you could see the sincerity in his eyes, because she does remind him of Padme.
Well, and she said that. She goes, you knew my mother. And she goes, are you my father?
Yeah, I thought that was great. And he was like, I wish. He's like, I wish, girl. I wish I was your father. But no, your father's Chris Hemsworth.
And they Love and Thunder. And they have such a great
chemistry.
Yeah. And as it, they're really great to get. And she's amazing. And she was the little girl in Bird Box.
Yeah. Yep.
And did you see that? I forget what that movie was. Like, Pedro Pascal was in it. Christian Slater. It was like the sequel to Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
Yeah. We Can Be Heroes. Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. She played Guppy.
Yep. I remember.
So she was great. She said she's 10. She don't look 10, but
I mean,
she's
she was born in 2012, so she is 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, 10 years old. Now, do you think this kind of leads into, like, we're going to get, like, a Leia prequel series?
I think we could, because, like, of her popularity.
And it goes, and like, people through this girl, and then Leia, like, Carrie Fisher's daughter, like, as she progresses, like, she ages into it.
What, into Billy Lord?
Yeah.
Well, Billy Lord's already in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, you can change that, though. You can, again, forget about those movies.
I don't know. I mean,
this could definitely spin into a Leia series. Or at least we could see Leia pop up somewhere else.
And people, like, you know, I'm, like, I've talked about these toxic groups that I'm in. Like, no one is talking crap on this little girl because she's so great.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they're not talking about her because she's great, but hopefully they're also being polite because it's a 10-year-old girl.
They're not polite with anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the Star Wars universe. The last thing I'll say about this series, before we kind of move into, you know, what our hopes are moving forward, like you would like to see, is Deborah Chow.
Yeah.
We've talked about her, how she had put on some of my favorite episodes in The Mandalorian. She's crushing it. I said it earlier. She is absolutely crushing this series. Really good at what she does. Like, I'm glad that she's the showrunner of this.
Yeah. Like, she's paying very attention to detail, as the, you know, the Disney series does. And one of the things that I call about, like, Easter eggs, did you notice when he was buying the toy? From the Jawa, it was the ship.
Yep.
Luke is playing with that ship when he is in episode 4. He's playing with that ship, or messing with it, when he's cleaning C-3PO and RTT2.
Yeah, and how about seeing C-3PO on Alderaan?
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
That was great. You know, a lot of things, as we kind of move into what we want in the future, a lot of things are kind of setting up things that I've already hoped for with, like, Dr. Aphra. And now that we're on Mustafar and we know that Vader's got his secret, not secret police, but he's got his people that he's loyal to, like his secret people. So he's got, you know, I was gonna call her Vecna, but that's a whole different episode. He's got Reva, and you know, Dr. Aphra was one of those people as well with her hunter droids. So I'd really like to see if this goes into season two, maybe Dr. Aphra come in, maybe in later into the season as well. But is there anything, like, I know we're halfway through, is there anything that like sticks to your head where you're like, I'd like to see this happen?
I don't know. Like, I haven't, I go into these theories pretty open-minded, because they're way smarter than I am and tie things together and do stuff. But, you know, I don't really have anything that I'm like, I want to see, because, you know, I want to, obviously, if this is season one and done, I want to see him just kind of, I'm sitting here for the next 8-9 years until New Hope.
Yeah.
I hope it's not a one and done. I hope there's more adventures. Because I think it's a good series. I think Ewan McGregor embodies Alec Guinness.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, if they would have recast it, Ewan McGregor, and he was like, listen, I don't want to do this, I think that would have been a terrible movie. This series wouldn't have even taken place.
It would have just been like, if he didn't want to do it, you just scrap it.
Yeah, they're going to do like a Qui-Gon origin story. Like, I know he's dead, but like before all that stuff, where you do like a Mace Windu story.
Now, do you think he pops up?
Liam Neeson?
Because remember, he keeps saying like,
hey, Master. Yeah, I absolutely think we see Liam Neeson through a Force ghost.
Yeah, obviously. Because they made a big deal about that, especially in the that recap.
Yeah.
That he'll be able to talk to
his master. Yeah, I think we have to see him at some point, because we're not, like I said earlier, we're not at full potential Obi. We're at like Ring Rust Obi. So we're seeing him kind of get his sea legs back, and I think he's finally going to get enough gusto to have a full fight with Vader and not get thrown into fire. Once he sees his master and is reassured, like, listen, like, you have bigger responsibilities than, you know, sitting around on the sands of Tatooine. Like, you got to get this young kid on Tatooine ready. You got to get this girl to her family, and you got to finish business with Anakin. Like, there's a lot riding on this. The fate of the galaxy rides on this. Like, you need one of those moments from Qui-Gon to say, like, you got this, but better than you got this. And I think that's what we're going to get. Like, I think we'll get Qui-Gon. I think we're going to get Quinlan Vos. I think we're going to get more characters from the Star Wars pantheon that we've been hoping for. And I think we're going to get explanation of why Reva is truly after Obi. Is this just a quest for power and a quest to be on the side of Vader? Or is there a personal vendetta against Obi? And if theories are right, she's that Jedi foundling from early in the prequels, then that's a good way to have a grudge, and it's a great tie-in. But we'll see. We will see. What do you give this?
10
out of 10 so far. Even with your little mini gripe, it's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, because it's Star Wars, and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go anywhere else than a 10 with this. This is a great series. It holds up to the other three that are out right now, or the other two, I'm sorry. But it's great. It's great, and I want more. I hate that there's 6 episodes, but I get it. You know, you have to give a little sample. You don't want to invest into a 12-episode run. I get it, but I want more. Cool. So we're going to introduce our new segment, and it's our top three for actors that are in the things that we're talking about. And it would be criminal if we didn't do the top three movies, our top three movies, for the one and only Ewan McGregor. So they don't have to be ranked, but if you ranked them, fantastic. What are your top three? Just give me what you got.
Obviously, I'm going with episode 3.
Episode 3, at number 3?
No, I'm not ranking them.
Okay, cool.
If I did, this would probably be 1.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with that is episode 3, because, you know, it was such a it was my favorite movie of the prequels, and he was great in it, obviously. So that's one. Two is a movie not a lot of people know about. It was called Ghost Rider.
Oh, and yeah, it's a fun little flick.
Yeah, it was a good kind of like a psychological thriller with him and Pierce Brosnan.
Yep.
And then this one is a more personal one because my daughter loves it. It was Christopher Robin.
Okay.
Because you know, three very distinct different movies. And, you know, my daughter, ever since she was little, loved Pooh, Winnie the Pooh. So this was something fun for her, something. And then it just showed that he also has a whimsical side as well. You know, because he's done, you know, back from Train Spotting to this. So yeah. He's a great actor. And I think those three movies just reflect his versatility.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised Harley Quinn didn't make it onto your top movies.
Because I didn't like him in that.
Or Dr. Sleep. But I kind of took the easy way out, and I did Star Wars as just one franchise, like one movie, because it was a long story told across the galaxy far, far away. Trainspotting is quite possibly one of the greatest performances I've ever seen him in. Mm-hmm. And I was torn between Black Hawk Down, but I know it's like a big ensemble cast, and Salmon Fishing in the Yemen. Have you ever watched that?
I know about it.
That's
I've never seen
you know, that's him and Emily Blunt, like, just working very well together. So if I'm going specifically with him being the lead, I'm going to go Salmon Fishing in the Yemen.
And, you know, obviously Star Wars, but the other four that we picked are so different.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's been in a bunch of really good stuff. Angels and Demons, yeah. The Men Who Stare at Goats, Haywire, Nanny McPhee, A Million Ways to Die, A Thousand Ways to Die in the West. He's been in a ton of stuff. Robots. Who could forget the wonderful movie Robots? And Moulin Rouge. You know, he's been in a ton of stuff, but he's a great actor in general, and I'm so glad that we're getting more of him. Have you ever watched any of his like Around the World, up like the Rogue Round Trip Down series that are on Apple Plus, HBO Max, one of those streaming
sites?
No,
I have not.
He does like travel shows too, and I was watching them during COVID, and they're fantastic. Not to mention, if you're looking for more Ewan McGregor, he's going to be playing Sebastian J. Cricket in Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
No, oh wait, yeah, he is.
And not in the Disney Pinocchio.
Yeah. Also, I'd be remiss is you've heard that his brother is a fighter pilot, right?
Yep.
For the British Navy, do you know what his call sign is?
Obi.
Obi-2.
Obi-2. Nice. That's awesome.
Which is great.
Yeah, that's a fantastic little play on. A nod to his brother, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. You mentioned the one thing. This is the last thing I have, and then we'll get out of here. But you mentioned that the little moment on the freighter with Freck and Obi and Leia, where Leia went rogue and went on the fly. Does that remind you of a scene in what we're going to talk about next week, Stranger Things, where a character went on the fly when she was told to be quiet?
No, I didn't think of that.
Ah, okay. Because I think both of those moments were very pivotal to the scene that they were in and got them out of a jam at the time.
Okay, now that I think about it, but I'd never thought of that before.
You know, I'd watched Stranger Things, which we'll talk about next week, right before, like, I'd finished it on Memorial Day. I watched it all on Memorial Day, and then Obi-Wan came out on Wednesday, right before we recorded this. I don't even know what day it is. It's Saturday. Right before we recorded this, and I was like, oh, that's kind of like a scene, and I don't want to spoil it because, you know, it's a week until the next episode, but that's what we're talking about next week. Stranger Things. You finished it. I finished it.
Yep.
85 hours of Stranger Things. the longest 7 episodes of my life, but we will talk about it. And as we think about it, last week we talked about Morbius, right? And how it keeps slowly moving down the list of our things to watch. It went back into theaters.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. And it was like bringing it back. And I'm like, why?
For what reason? I have no idea. But it's getting further and further because after Stranger Things, we have to talk about Ms. Marvel. Because Ms. Marvel comes out this Wednesday, June 8th. Disney Plus put in 2 series. I think this might be the first time that they put 2 of our core fandoms series together.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, you got Ms. Marvel and you've got Obi-Wan Kenobi. Which way do you go? Are you going Obi-Wan first to continue your story?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
100%. Because it's something that I've already watched before and I don't, like, not that I don't have to pay attention, but it's something that I love, and yeah, I know I want to start with it.
Yeah, well, we'll circle back in 3 weeks to discuss this whole series and kind of see where we're at with the final 3. But that's it, man. We're going to get out of here next week. We're going to talk Stranger Things. Make sure you watch it. It's a lot. Make sure you watch it closely. But that's it. Follow us on social media, The Active Geek. Follow Chuck. Follow the network. Follow all the shows on the network, and come back next week for another great episode as we go into the Upside Down. For the Active Geek Podcast, I'm Jim.
I am Chuck.
And we are out.